This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hey, listeners. My name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well today. We're not live, but we are recorded, even though we're talking about Facebook Live videos. That feels a little bit funny. Today's article is called 5 Reasons Your Church Should Do More Facebook Live Videos and Hopefully 16 Tips for Doing Them Well. Now, what do you think about this whole Facebook Live thing? Like how when you think about this, I know you've done a bunch of these. So what do you think about when you think about Facebook Live, Vanessa?
Well, I feel like I'm going to turn a question around on you. Do you find that there's some people who can communicate really well in front of a big crowd or even a small crowd, but then there's certain type of people that can pull off Facebook Live videos and do them really well, but that person might not necessarily be able to stand in front of 400 people and do a talk?
Yeah,
you find that?
Yeah, that's true, actually. I think there is something about staring down that little camera that I think is unnerving for some people. Like, I was actually was just doing a video this week with somebody. Now, it wasn't live, but we were recording, and but they were, like, queezed out by the, like, looking at the camera. But if they got on stage, they'd be fine, which is kind of weird. But that's not the case for you. What do you think are the kind of people that are great on camera? What would you say? What is some of those personality types that you feel like, or, you know, and we're going to run into some of this while we talk through it, but that's where. Yeah, what would you say?
Yeah, I kind of look at like someone like Carrie Newhoff, who's our founding pastor at Connexus. And there's something of, like, I mean, Carrie can do a great Facebook Live video, but I mean, he's really stellar in front of like 10,000 people. That's where he thrives, right? And he can communicate so well. And that's not unnerving for him. But for somebody like me, I have a really hard time communicating in front of like 10 people.
Right.
And so I don't know if maybe it's the more A-type personality that can pull off those big crowds versus I'm still an extrovert, but my heart will beat outside my chest. Like, I get so nervous, but
interesting.
I can pull off a great Facebook Live video.
Nice.
Might not necessarily be able to do a recorded video, but I could do.
So interesting,
Facebook,
right?
Which is so crazy because it's no different, right? I have two people standing in front of me versus one. I mean, my husband and I did a video and I was terrible. They said, you need to make more eye contact with the camera. Like, I can't do that.
Right. It's interesting,
but
right?
But I go live and I don't know, it all falls away.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
Facebook is still really the default social media network. And so today we're really focusing specifically on Facebook Live. Obviously, there are other platforms that do live, but specifically for this, I wanted to kind of focus on that one. There's this amazing statistic that came out recently. 68% of all adults, which is an incredible stat, access the platform regularly in North America. That's, just stop and think about that. That's 2/3 of people. Imagine if there were 2/3 of your people in your town that were doing the same thing on a regular basis. You know, wouldn't you want to know more about it? Even more so, wouldn't you want to figure out how to leverage that thing to point people towards Jesus? Well, with Facebook and live video specifically, this really continues to be a thriving, growing feature of the platform. In fact, 2 billion people, that's an incredible statistic, 2 billion people have watched Facebook Live broadcast already. So, and the number keeps growing every day. In fact, it continues to grow exponentially. So,
it's
amazing. So I really do think this is one of those low hanging fruit, categories that I think most churches could leverage more. Like, when I look at what people are doing on Facebook, not enough of us are doing Facebook Live. And so today I'm hoping that we'll convince you. The goal of this, you know, next 20 minutes or so is at the end of it, you'll be like, great, let's try it. So that's what I'm hoping. So up front, I just want to tell you, that's where we're hopefully heading today.
Yeah. And maybe if you're a lead pastor or a founding pastor and you don't feel comfortable being in front of a camera doing social media, there's someone in your church, I'm sure, that is willing to do it.
Yes.
And just try it.
Absolutely. Try, right? For sure. Definitely.
All right. So we have 4 ingredients of a great Facebook Live video for your church.
Okay. So I spent some time watching, you know, a bunch of different feeds and a bunch of different people that were doing, not just in the church, but outside the church as well. And I think, what is it that seems to be grabbing my attention about these, the ones that seem to do, better than others. And so the first I would say is a hook. You know, there needs to be something. So the way these videos work is the first 3 seconds are vitally important. What happens right off the top is critically important. And what you want to do is, you know, like a news article, you know, a great news article, you know, a hook at the beginning grabs people's attention. And so, you know, you want to, in those first 3 seconds, get out of your mouth something that really baits them to keep watching. But then also what they see at the beginning needs to bait their attention. And so for me, I think a way that I think I see us overusing in the church sometime is we do our videos at the same place all the time. So why not do it somewhere different? Because even that alone, you're like, where are they standing? And the goal of that hook, the goal of the first 3 seconds is just to get them to watch the next 10 seconds. And literally being somewhere different could grab people's attention. So a hook is a big deal. Next would be educate or entertain. I think we've got to think through, please don't use your Facebook Lives as just a way to advertise what's coming up at the church. It needs to actually provide some sort of value to people. And so this could be, some sort of entertainment piece where literally it's like something funny is going on, or it could be, you know, an education piece. We're going to, you know, have a little bit of, I've seen some churches do the kind of walk off the stage Facebook Live video, which is cool. So the pastor will come walking off the stage and then they'll have almost like that. What is that? America's Got Talent, where there's those guys kind of standing in the wing. And they'll be like, hey, pastor, like, man, what do you think today really struck with people as they, you know, were listening in, that kind of thing? Hey, that's a little bit of, you know, education, you know, in their show, don't tell. So this is a visual medium. This is a big piece. And people aren't seeing what you're saying, or they're not hearing what you're saying. So when you think about how this scrolls by, there's got to be something visual about what you're doing. And so that literally could be like a prop, showing a prop on camera, or it could be the place you're in, or it could be something you're doing. You need to show something that grabs their attention that ultimately will push them to say, I want to listen to what they're saying. But they first have to see what you're doing. Avoid the temptation of just being a talking head. I think too many churches, there's one church I can think of, it's a big church, they do a lot of things really well, but literally every Sunday they do a Facebook Live and it's people standing in the exact same location and it's two people and it's kind of the talking head news story. Like, it looks like it's a 1970s news story kind of thing. And then finally, call to action. Before you start the video, be thinking what you're actually asking people to do. Like, actually, what action are you asking them to engage on? What's their next step? It literally could just be, hey, can please like, comment, and share on this video. Like, we want to spread this. Or, you know, like, we're talking to pastors as they come off the stage, and so your next step is to sign up for a group this week. We're going to be talking about that in your, in your groups or whatever. So I wanted to get that out off the front. Those are kind of some core ingredients of great Facebook Live videos. What would you say? Is there anything I missed in there, or anything that wasn't clear,
Vanessa? I think that when you're starting to do a Facebook Live video, you have to think of, like, the hook is so important, but I think that Facebook allows you, like, I think you should do a lot of Facebook Live videos and then go back and analyze. So how long are people watching? And, I think if you can communicate information in under 30 seconds, you're probably going to get more views than if you have a 90 second video. Right. And I don't think that matters what you're communicating. If there is a hook, I think it's a time thing, right? Mm-hmm. I know for me, I'm like 12 seconds.
Right.
And if I'm not engaged, I'm like, okay, done. See ya. Like, keep going.
Right? Absolutely. And I think that's a good distinction. These videos should not be, that's a good thing to underline. What you're not doing is like a 10-minute video. Like, you should be thinking of these counted in seconds. This is a 60-second thing. This is a 90-second. This is a 30-second video. We're literally just going to pop quick, say this one thing, you know, capture people's attention, and then be gone. And then, you know, I would rather you, listeners, do 3 videos of 60 seconds than 1 3-minute video.
For sure.
You know, you'd be way better. And the algorithm is preferring that still. Their Facebook is hungry for content. And so they're looking for that kind of, content for sure.
I'd say if you can pull off a Facebook Live in under 20 seconds and not looking rushed, then you have nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. That's good.
Yeah, for sure. So we just kind of touched on this, but Facebook is still pushing live video, and like, huge.
Yeah, this is a significant piece. And I think there still is a lot of kind of confusion out there around Facebook in general. And like, people are like, well, Facebook's dead, I shouldn't be using it. That's not true. And this is not a conversation around organic reach and all that. But the one thing I can tell you is that Facebook live videos are continuing to be pushed by the platform at a significant rate. I was talking to a church recently that was looking at the analytics of this, and they reported that if you take an average Facebook Live video and then an average kind of graphic post that they were doing, they're seeing 200 times more views on that video than they are seeing in a typical status update. So it's important. You know, there's a quote I wrote in the article here. I saw Mark Zuckerberg say, he said, "Live is like having a TV camera in your pocket. Anyone with a phone now has the power to broadcast to anyone in the world. This is a big shift in how we communicate. It's going to create new opportunities for people to come together." They continue to see this as a critical piece to their future development. There's a lot of evidence out there actually that Facebook is, you know, in 5 years from now will be much more of a video and VR venue than it will be, you know, the kind of text and graphics as it is today. And so they're pushing that content because that's actually where they want to see the engagement go long term.
I think it, I don't know if we touch on this later in the article, but I think it's really interesting too that the new algorithm that has come out with Facebook, they're really wanting to push engagement between people. And so if you do a live video, your organic reach is going to be higher. But then as people start commenting on it, as a business page, if you have a business page for your church, you need to be commenting back. And that's going to keep that reach going and going and going.
Yes.
Just Facebook likes that engagement. And they're really hitting business pages hard. So I think we have to do everything we can to get the message out there with all the tools that they give us.
Absolutely. No, that's great. That's a good call for sure.
So a good tip, if you're looking at doing some Facebook Live videos, people love behind the scene videos. Yeah, that's our next point.
Yeah. So this, you know, there's lots of opportunities for us to do video that isn't just kind of the standard, you know, like message, that kind of thing. And there is a trend, not just within the church world, but within broader, you know, kind of circles, that the kind of behind the scenes videos particularly are showing high engagement. So, you know, the stat that I saw on this is 87% of audience would prefer to watch online videos if they included more behind the scenes content than a standard TV broadcast. So what that's saying, and you can see this, you'll see actually a number of the late night talk show people are now doing just on Facebook exclusive content that's like either, you know, between the, you know, the commercial breaks, or, you know, they're shooting, you know, in the in fact, the folks on Jimmy Fallon, they do these videos on Facebook that are like, they're literally shot just with the camera. I don't even think they have extra lighting, or just on a phone. There's no extra lighting. I don't think they have an extra mic because the sound's not great. But those videos are getting huge engagement. There's something about that kind of, you know, live, raw thing that we're looking for here. There's a huge stickiness examples, you know, or stickiness to those videos. So I've got three examples in here that we talk about behind the scenes videos. So one is the midweek message prep. I've seen some pastors who have literally done the like, hey, I'm doing, you know, this time of year, people are maybe out and about and they're writing in a new location. Well, open up your phone and, you know, broadcast from there. Here I am, I'm writing. And this is actually a great opportunity to ask a question or two about an upcoming message to draw people in, actually to help write that message. I've seen some folks use it very well. Early morning backstage, you know, we're seeing it more and more. Churches, it's becoming standard practice to do the like first thing in the morning. Let's say your service is at 9 o'clock. You know, you'll see a lot of churches now are doing the like 7:30, 7:45, you know, hey, it's Pastor Bob here. You should get in your car and come to church video, which is fine, which is great. But resist the urge of doing that in the lobby or in the same location every time. Go backstage, go into that, you know, stand off to the side while the band is rehearsing, or, you know, do it from some back door that people, you know, volunteers come in through. You know, is there a cleaning crew vacuuming the hallway? Stop and talk to the cleaning crew and be like, hey, wow, we're so glad these people are here preparing for you today. And then another kind of behind the scenes would be team training. You know, this idea of showing like a 30-second clip. Hey, we're at this training today. We're so super excited for tomorrow at church. You know, as you see here, the team's getting ready. That's particularly good for big days. Most churches are doing some sort of communication around big days and or doing extra training around big days. And so that's a great opportunity for you to go live on Facebook.
I think there was a church out of Ajax last summer. I watched, not, it wasn't on Facebook, it was on Insta Story, but it was an interesting way to leverage even Instagram. And he was sitting on his front porch. It was like a Saturday afternoon, and he was just hanging out, praying, and just mentally getting ready for his message the next day. And I thought that was really cool that he just let viewers come into that moment where he was probably feeling a little bit more vulnerable because he's getting ready for, I think it sounded like a pretty convicting message that would connect with people. And so he just wanted people to know where he was at with it. And I thought that was so cool. It wasn't like, I mean, Insta stories are what, 30 seconds. It's not a long video, but I thought that was really neat too. And I mean, you can totally do that with Facebook Live.
Yeah, that is really cool. I love that. And you know,
it was really raw, you know?
Absolutely. And I think people are drawn in by that, right? People are like, wow, like this is cool. Like it doesn't all need to be super, in fact, it shouldn't be polished. You know, we want it to be more authentic for sure. That's great.
Yeah, no, it was really neat. So our next point, Live positions your church with the big leagues.
All right. So increasingly, Facebook Live is being used by larger and larger organizations. I've rattled off a bunch of examples already. Actually, an interesting stat for this year, Facebook actually secured the exclusive rights for 25 Major League Baseball games for this summer. And so actually, the only place you're going to be able to watch those is on Facebook.
Now, that's amazing.
People, don't miss what's happening there. What does that mean? Facebook is trying to transition itself with Facebook Watch and other aspects of what they're doing to being a video platform. And again, it's still early enough that your church can get in there, and actually what you do is going to end up being in the same platform as Major League Baseball, which is, you know, incredible. So, and on here I provide, and actually I would love your thought on these, because you've used some of these devices. I provided kind of a couple tools, three tools, and you can see these links in the actual article that I found helpful in the past for kind of providing Facebook Live videos to try to up your quality a little bit. Because, you know, you can literally just open your phone and do it. But, you know, even a few things to kind of augment it a little bit, make it a little nicer, can help and go a long way. So one is this Rode lav mic. So it's just a mic that clips onto you and plugs right into your cell phone, which is nice, or right into your, you know, iPhone or whatever. And it does increase the quality of the audio. It's a great, I think it's like $50 or something like that. Again, the link's in the notes there. There's the Mevo camera, which I know you've used in the past, which is basically what it is, for folks that don't know. It's a, it's what's called 4K, which is basically a super high definition camera, but it's only one lens. And what it does is it allows you through an app on your phone to actually basically take just small pieces of the overall image. So it looks like there's multi cameras, but it's actually just one camera. It's an interesting product. Now, what's your, you know, 30 seconds on the Mevo?
Yeah, no, the Mevo is really cool. I would say that they advertise that it's 4K, but it's really dependent on your internet speed. So if you are at a church that has crummy internet speed, this probably isn't the camera for you.
Yep.
I think you can hardwire the Mevo camera with an Ethernet cable, but I mean, now you're just getting super complicated, and it takes away from the ease and the use of having one.
Right.
But it's a great tool. I've had a lot of fun. It's like having a broadcast studio on your phone, which is really neat. And it goes right to Facebook, which is super cool.
Yeah.
But I would say do your research on it to make sure that it's the right fit for you and your church.
Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't, I know some churches experimented with it. Where it works well is if the distance between the camera and the subject is in the like 5 to 8 feet away, it doesn't work. It's not the kind of camera you can put. I know some churches were messing around with it, saying like, well, we're going to put it in the back of our room and try to use it as a, you know, broadcast thing. And it doesn't work that way. It's not great for that at all. It's the kind of, you know, we're standing together, you know, and all the examples when you watch on, you know, that they show, it's like, here's a cooking show. Here's a, you know, kind of cable access news show. Like, you know, it's that kind of stuff. And then the third thing I provide here a link for is a selfie light ring. So this is just literally a selfie LED light that goes on your phone and provides, again, close up lighting for you. This would be particularly good if you plan on doing like backstage stuff at your church where the lighting can be not so great. Again, there's a bunch of these on Amazon. I provided a link to one that has pretty good reviews and is pretty inexpensive. You know, you should think about lighting. Lighting is at least half the battle in making video. You know, the more lighting, the better light you have, the better image you'll get.
So engagement is 10 times higher on live versus pre-recorded video.
All right. So an interesting fact so I think churches, particularly churches that, you know, are concerned about quality and that sort of thing, will be like, well, we're just going to record a video and post it to Facebook. What difference is there? Well, what we're finding is actually the engagement on them. So people like commenting and sharing, that sort of thing, is actually 10 times more likely on a live live video than on a regular video that's been uploaded to Facebook. This is an important distinction. This is, I think, it's both algorithmically true. Facebook is pushing those videos more that are resident Facebook live videos. And I think there's sociologically true as well. There's something about the raw edge of a video that's made live that actually just draws people in more rather than something pre-recorded. So my encouragement is there are probably churches today that are making a video and then are uploading it to Facebook that should just be thinking about doing that same content as a live video, because you will get more engagement. People will be more likely to, to like, comment, share, that kind of thing on it.
Yeah, I know for us on our Facebook, so every Sunday we will live stream both of our services and we see huge numbers watching and commenting as well and engaging with the service. And so I think if we were to just upload the message after, it's less likely that people are going to sit and watch a 40-minute message versus being able to tune in to see what's actually happening. And I think that's sort of like a connection level too, right? What people are watching in the auditorium and what I'm watching on my computer right now are the exact same thing. So it's almost like I'm sitting there, but I'm still in my pajamas on my couch.
Yeah. The way I've talked about in other environments is there's a tangible intangibility to live.
Yeah.
There's something about... and you can't get it onto a spreadsheet. There's some, you can't like, what is that difference? I don't know. It's just, this is actually happening right now. And so my strong recommendation would be, for churches to be thinking about even that, I think, which I didn't talk about in any of this here, which I probably should have, as now I'm thinking about it, is, for years we did the, church online thing. We started doing that, 2009 was the first time, I was with a church that did church online, and we spent a lot of time, effort, energy, money on trying to make that thing work. And a big part of what we were trying to do was get great video paired beside people's real names. So, and I remember we tried, because when we first started the church online thing, it would be like Fancy Bear 2000 and like Bobby's Friends 12 and like all this kind of like weird names and all this stuff. And, I'm like, how is this actually going to lead to life change? People aren't giving us their names, let alone, sure enough, in 2015, Mark Zuckerberg solves all that and says, well, here's live video, and it's teamed right with people's profiles, which are people's real names, which is, so I would say for most churches, it's relatively straightforward for you to be broadcasting video of your service live out of your, your auditorium. We're talking
for sure.
Even for an investment of a few hundred up to a few thousand, and you can go more than that, but it's not like you need to spend tens of thousands of dollars to do that. You can do it with a relatively modest investment, be broadcasting out and doing exactly what, Vanessa just said there.
Yeah. If you're pumping it online to your website, you should be able to pump it out to Facebook as well. That's what we do. We use a StreamMonkey, and it seems like it's a pretty reliable service. So we've been happy with it, but, anyway, so three easy ways to drive up engagement. We digressed huge.
Yeah. Right. So we're talking about how engagement's higher on live versus pre-recorded. So, lead with a question was part of what I love. Part of what I love about some Facebook Lives is when they actually, right at the beginning, the hook actually is a question. So, actually driving people to think like, oh, should I be thinking differently, about this? Examples here, I just gave some examples, like you could do a video from your worship people and let's say they're doing a rehearsal and the opening question could be like, what's a favorite worship song that we've been singing at the church these days? We would love for you to hear that. You could enter that in the comments down below. We'd love to know that sort of thing. Or, if we could only talk about one thing in our messages, what would that be? Or like, what's a kind of a favorite message over the last, in the past that you remember, or a favorite series that we did in the past, this kind of thing, to kind of lead with a question, to draw people in with a question, ask for a share. Again, early on in the video, best practice across, influencers who are not just on, not just church folks, but beyond that, you'll see consistently people are asking for the share. So they're saying, hey, please, they'll actually point down and say, please share this video right now. We would love for you to, let your friends know about that. Again, they're typically doing that in the first 10, 15 seconds. And then, give a gift. You could literally say, hey, if you listen till the very end, we've got something we'd love to give you. We've got something we want to give you for free. And at the end of that video, you could point people to a website where you've got like a free download, or you've got, maybe an MP3 or something like that you could give to folks who are listening in. Because, the view rates long term, you know, getting people to stay beyond 15 seconds is, you know, a part of the game here. And so actually telling people, hey, we'd love for you to stay to the end. We're going to give you something free. If you just stay right to the end of the video, we promise it won't be long, is another way to drive up engagement.
All right. Point number five, online video is leading to offline engagement.
All right. So part of what I've been following, you know, again, outside of the church market, trying to see how we can learn is because I think most of our churches are looking at these. Well, I'll just say about myself. When I first started doing church online, when we first started doing these things, I looked at that as like, this is a way for us to build like a digital campus. In fact, we used to talk about it like that. We would always talk about like, these people are going to be there and they're going to, you know, they're, that's kind of like us reaching into people who won't normally come into our church. And while I think that is all true, I also think we need to be thinking about how are we using these online tools to drive people to actually come to our campuses. And there, in fact, are a number of evidences of, you know, thought leaders and influencers who are leveraging them, who are leveraging exclusively kind of live video ultimately to drive beyond just like, comments, and shares to real world engagement. In fact, 67% of audience who streamed a live, watched a live stream, have purchased a ticket for a similar offline event the next time it occurred. So there's been some evidence around, you know, bands that are streaming shows online. The people who actually will watch those videos are more likely when that band comes to town to actually purchase a ticket and go see them live. Now, for us, that's a real great dynamic equivalent for us. You know, we want to move beyond just people watching online, but actually ultimately get people, you know, into our real world environments. I'll give an example. There's a guy on there. There's a, this kind of real estate guy and social media guy, Grant Cardone, who has used a swarm of live videos to drive 9,000 people to his conference last year. So he had 9,000 people show up to Las Vegas for his conference. When you look at what his promotion strategy was, it was, we are going to do a significant amount of live videos to get in front of his audience. So I talk about kind of three ways to, well, what do you think about that? First of all, I'd love to get your thoughts on this kind of online driving to offline engagement.
Well, I think it doesn't even, like, I was thinking when you're talking about a band doing that, I mean, a band doesn't actually have to do that because people attending have their phones out, right? If you're right. Sitting at a concert or at a conference, if somebody's saying something that you like, or if you're enjoying it, you're going to be posting it, right? So right. I think if you follow the right people, you'll stumble upon it and then you'll say, yeah, this is, seems like a worthwhile investment that I want to go see this band, or this is a conference I'd like to attend. It seems like the speaker is really great. And so it's kind of giving us a snapshot into what to expect, right? We talk about that in a lot of our other podcasts, what to expect documents when you come to church. Well, it's almost the same thing for all of these other businesses that are doing it, which is really smart. I mean, it's like, it's free marketing, really.
Right. And this gets back. That's a great point. I love that you brought that up, Vanessa. That's perfect. Even, you know, I think our churches need to be pro phone in church, right? We need to,
totally.
We need to actually call out to people, please open your phone and live stream. Please open your phone, take pictures and post. That shouldn't be seen. This shouldn't be seen as a phone free zone. It's actually the opposite. I was at a church recently that, again, I thought this was a killer. I'm like, man, why are not more churches doing this? They had a hashtag for the day. I forget what it was. And they said, listen, for every 10 hashtags that are shared with a picture of today's service, we're going to donate, I think it was $10 to a ministry overseas. It was like a, you know, a kids ministry overseas. I'm like, that's killer. What a great
idea. That is
really
smart.
So it was like saying, actually, we not only do we want you to do it, but we're actually going to incentivize people. If you do that, we will then going to donate and make a difference on the other side of the world. Again, I think we have to go out of our way. And I would even say for this, like, hey, you know, it would be great to say, you know, you want to stream today's, you know, worship service? Go right ahead, open your phone and stream it. That'd be wonderful. We'd love that. Now, that assumes you've got great internet, you know, because people probably aren't going to want to chew up their data. But if you had a great, you know, Wi-Fi, that would make that even more valuable for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if you look at our listeners that are in the States might not have heard of this, but of the Humboldt Broncos car bus accident happened a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the amount of support that went into the GoFundMe account, you think of how many people were sharing, and I don't know about you, but it was almost chilling to me when I drove through our neighborhood. People were asking to put hockey sticks in front of their front doors to show support. And that all stemmed from social media. Right. And then to drive across neighborhoods and to see those hockey sticks sitting there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so pregnant, but I cried.
Yeah, I was crying. No, absolutely.
Because it's so touching, right? And so you think of a big movement like that. If we as churches can come together and think of a way to strategize and be able to post this live content, to have offline engagement, to have conversations with people, or to point them towards social media. I mean, it's a great tool. It's a great way to leverage engagement.
Absolutely. You know, and I think even for, you know, if I could think of a church pastor who's maybe pastoring a church of 150 people, and they're like, that all sounds interesting. There's no way I can do all that. How can I use this? You know, I think we all know as communicators that at the end of the day, the people in our church need to know, like, and trust us, that they have to look at the people that are leading the organization and say, those are the kind of people I know about them. I have a sense. That's why pastors for, you know, centuries have been telling stories about their kids, because they people, you know, you want them to know you. And then, but it needs to move beyond that. It needs to be on, you know, to like and trust ultimately. And, you know, Facebook Live is a shortcut for doing that. You know, it's a way for you to show, you know, even what's going on in your own life, that sort of thing. And so in the article, I talk about three ways to bridge offline engagement. Show your campuses. Again, get out of just doing them in one location. Use your live streams to walk people through a Sunday morning experience at all of your locations. If you're a multi-site church, parking your parking lot, and then, you know, have a camera, have somebody else holding the phone, and pull up in the parking lot and get out of the car and walk in and say hi to four volunteers. You'd be amazed at how that, you know, encourages people, like, oh, wow, I should maybe go and check that out. Introduce your pastoral staff. You know, oftentimes, you know, in fact, I think for the majority of times, lead pastor types will not want to be on these Facebook videos. There's just too much. It just feels very strange for them. Now, that's changing. There are, I would say, particularly younger leaders who are very resonant to this, and it's not a problem. But, you know, you could pull in that primary kind of person in, that primary communicator or face of the brand, into these videos. So I could see, like, in our context, having, you know, you pull in Carrie and, like, hey, Carrie, I'm gonna ask you two questions. That probably is a more palatable thing for them to do. And you could do that in campuses and all that. There's something about when someone asks you a question, it's easier to respond than just have to stare down the camera. And then,
for sure.
And then finally, a direct call to action. Don't be afraid to ask people for an online action. So again, we've seen this more and more. We would love you to, and I literally think you have to say this, we would love you to get in your car and come to our services today. We still have time left for our next service, that sort of thing. Or if you've got an upcoming event, that kind of thing, you know, ask them if they're willing to do that. So again, I just think this is such an incredibly, it's an amazing resource that I don't think enough of our churches are leveraging.
Absolutely. I think a best practice too, and you sort of touched on it when you were introducing pastoral staff. I think you want to have somebody that's going to be consistently posting these Facebook Live videos that they can connect with. Because it's, if you have different people doing it every week, I think that's really hard to engage with. So maybe having two people, but then, like you said, being able to pull in a lead pastor, somebody that is familiar, that people can recognize as part of the brand. And that way you're building up the person that's on Facebook Live with a lead pastor or a founding pastor, whoever's more comfortable, right? And so it's just building that brand up so that it's more comfortable to watch than who's this chick and why do I care what she's saying?
Yeah, no, that's very good. That's a good, and you know, you can find folks in your church, you know, all of you, I know there may be pastors that are listening in today and are like, listen, this all sounds really interesting. There's no way I'm going to do any of that. There are people within your church today that if you were to say, hey, I would love for you to help us do this. Would you show up every week and do this? Could you help
me? Yes.
They would say, yes, I'd love to do this. I would love to, and they're, you know, I'm not trying to play against to stereotype, but there may be some younger folks who, you know, would be willing to say, yeah, I'll do that. That would be fun. They're already doing it. They would love the platform. They'd love the opportunity to try it on somebody else's feed and not on their own. And it would be, you know, real positive for sure.
I was thinking, if you want to fly me to your church, I'll do it.
Yeah. And Vanessa's particularly great at it. If you ever get a chance to see her, she does a really good job on Facebook.
Thank you. That's so sweet of you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anything that you want to add before we sign off?
I think the last thing I would say is this. Listen, I know church leaders, you're listening in today and you want to reach more people in your community. I know that. That's the only reason why you'd be listening in. You're trying to improve yourself. You're trying to grow. You're trying to say, hey, like, what can I do different? This is one of those areas that I think is low hanging fruit for your church. This is the kind of thing where I think if your church went from doing no Facebook Lives videos to doing one a week, you would see a difference. Now, is it that people the next day are going to come pouring into church? No. But over an extended extended period of time, you'll see it make a difference in your church. It will ultimately see people get more people connected to your church, for sure.
And it's awesome because it's free. Exactly. Who doesn't love free?
Free is great. It fits all of our budgets.
It does. I mean, you can start small and then work your way up.
Absolutely. Definitely. That's great. Good call.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com. Thanks for listening.